Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Get in the van!
This is Twisted Cat.
And Batman.
We just saw the WHO. The WHO from Mongolia, not WHO.
H-H-U.
1-H.
1-H, yes. Not two H's. No W. The WHO. There was a lot of WHO.
Opening for them was...
Crownlands.
So let's talk about Crownlands first. Crownlands. Okay, so the description was intriguing to me. And my assessment of the band is two guys who went, dude, how can we like do Rush but better? I know, we'll do all of the same type of music. And the guy has Geddy Lee's voice.
Oh yeah.
But we'll only have two people on stage.
Yeah, very, very, you know, hippie vibe. They also had a real like Kansas vibe going.
It was just Rush to me. Oh yeah,
it was very Rush. It was that feel. Very, very hippie vibe, Rush going on. I mean, they were good.
I love the fact that you think Rush is hippie, but okay.
No, I don't think Rush is hippie. I think they were. Did you see how those fine gentlemen were dressed?
They were dressed like metal from the 70s, as far as I was concerned. I mean, they were dressed like Led Zeppelin.
They were totally 70s metal.
Yeah. But excellent. Very good. Would see very again. Yeah. In fact, we'll see again.
I guess, are they opening for the band on
Tuesday?
They're on tour with the WHO, so
we will be seeing them again.
We will see them again on Tuesday.
We'll see if there's that changes at all.
We'll see. Yeah, they're up from Canada somewhere.
Toronto, I think.
It was Ontario, but there's an Ossuario or something. I actually did look it up because I was trying to figure out where they said they were from. And it's somewhere up in Canada, so.
They're from Canada, eh?
Definitely.
But yes, very good. So much sound coming from just two guys.
I was interested just because the blurb had the thing about, you know, him playing
keyboard with his toes.
Keyboard with his feet.
There was no toe keyboarding.
There was. It was next to the drums. He did it like briefly for one song, and it was just like big pedals that he stepped on with his cowboy boots. So,
it was that guy, not the drummer.
Yeah, it was that guy, not the drummer.
Oh, okay.
And I was also really, for their final song, when he brought out the special guitar for the special song about the special thing, and it's essentially a guitar and bass.
Two necks,
but it was specifically guitar and bass. It wasn't like it was a two-necked guitar. And then proceeded to play through three-quarters of the song without touching the bass on it. I'm like, it got to a point in which I was going, is he gonna do the thing?
He did.
He did eventually.
He did the thing.
But two guys, good show.
Yeah, for sure. So, and then the WHO.
Mongolian metal.
So I found these guys on YouTube, like a year and a half ago, I think?
A while.
It's been a while. And was stunned and amazed and told bands in town that I wanted to be told if they were ever coming to town, thinking it was never going to happen. And suddenly they're doing a U.S. tour.
They started playing U.S. shows in, I think, October, and they were on a festival or two, and then I guess booked a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
And have become a huge kind of thing. They've been playing them all over Octane. They did a special remix of one of their songs that has more English in it because, I mean, all of their songs are in Mongolian. I don't believe any of them speak English other than, are you guys having a good time?
I think they do speak English, but they certainly don't write in English.
Sure. All of their songs are in Mongolian.
Which is part of what fascinates me. You know, I love the whole, like, indigenous rock thing. And so that, to me, was very exciting. I think that's how I found them on YouTube to begin with, because I was looking at, you know, various, you know, non-English-speaking, indigenous-ishy hard rock songs.
And part of their vibe is that they play hard rock, but a lot of it using traditional Mongolian instruments.
Which they've electrified and are absolutely amazing.
And they're gorgeous.
I'm going to have to put pictures up with this podcast so that people can see.
I looked up some of the thing. I don't remember the Mongolian term for the, what is, it's translated to horsehead fiddle.
Okay. So the one that those two guys were playing.
Yeah. The two of the band members play what's called a a horse head fiddle. It's essentially
two strings.
Two strings, and they're way away from the fretboard, for lack of a better.
The guy in front of me kept playing, like he would occasionally play with the note with his finger under the string, yeah, as opposed to on top of the string. Yeah, I found fascinating.
Pressing down, they wouldn't usually go all the way to the fretboard. And I think also a lot of that comes to the same sort of effect that the two-tone singing does, because sure, the strings, since there's only two, they're aligned straight, so you can easily hit a note on one and play both as an overtone, which mm-hmm, they did quite a bit, and then bouncing bows off.
Yeah.
You know, string that is a plucking, it's a bow. Really cool looking, like works of art.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, speaking of works of art, just everyone in the band, if you look at them, all of their like straps and guitar straps, and everybody's got their like,
everything is handmade Mongolian.
It's all handmade, hand studded, like Mongolian leather artisan work. Not, hey, I picked this up at Guitar Center to strap my guitar on.
Their outfits were all what tribal hippies want to be wearing but can't afford because they haven't been to Mongolia. So the music itself is very rhythm based. It feels very shamanic to me.
Yeah, it's got that hard driving beat that I love.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bass driven and just a lot of that.
So they had two different drum kits. They had a traditional drum kit, like a traditional rock drum kit, and then a traditional Mongolian drum kit. They had a guitar player, a bass player, the three guys playing instruments up front, so the two with the two stringed instruments and one guy who had something between a traditional instrument and a guitar.
I'm pretty sure it is a traditional instrument. I'd have to look it up to see what it is.
But it's guitar-ish.
It's guitar-ish. It sounds actually something like, it's almost more like a mandolin or, you know, bouzouki, yeah, sort of thing.
Sure.
Which I got mostly from when they did a brief sound check with it.
Okay.
Like, oh, that's what, because I had originally thought it was more of a bass instrument.
Okay.
But that one, instead of being like a horse head, the entire instrument looks like a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
So the top of it is a bow, and it's a stringed instrument, and the fretboard goes out, and the top of it is essentially like an arrowhead up by all the tuning and everything. And again, just gorgeous paintings, stonework.
Going back to the shamanic thing, so the guy in front of me, his instrument was themed fire. The guy in the middle, his instrument was themed water. And the guy on the end, because it was a bow and arrow, was themed air. Love that. Just such detail.
Yeah, red and black on the one
there.
You've got black and blue on the water and, you know, almost the great wave painted on it.
Yeah.
In the black. And then the earth on the other side is green. That guitar thing.
Second instrument he had was gold.
The second one that he pulled out was gold, yeah.
So.
That was more of a bass thing for that one song. Okay. I forget which song it was.
I don't remember.
But we have a set list.
Yes, we do. But yeah, absolutely amazing. Great energy. Oh, and the gentleman in the middle plays like what I think of as accessory instruments, like flute and the harp.
He plays mouth harp, primarily sings, and the flute. And the flute themselves were also very interesting. I was watching the technique.
Mm-hmm.
It's not It's not a like sort of, you know, blow into it like a recorder sort of flute or Native American flute.
And it wasn't a blow across the top.
It's not a blow across the top. It's played straight like a recorder, but he actually blows into it with the rest of his mouth open.
Right.
There was no closed around it blowing air through, and I didn't see a hole or anything on the top. So I'm pretty sure the sound is generated blowing into it and essentially looping back.
Hmm.
Because the sound is coming out of the top, not the bottom, because that's where the mic is.
Right.
He's just using his vocal mic. And he plays the thing the whole time with his mouth open, using that essentially as a resonating chamber. I mean, he's got two different flutes, and he's wearing a like tooled leather quiver at his side that holds his flutes during the show.
Did you see the monkey emblem on it?
No.
Yeah, one of the metal pieces on it was two monkeys.
Nice.
Gorgeous. I just.
Amazing show.
I want to do like an article on their instruments.
Yeah. A lot of their songs, again, also, you know, not speaking Mongolian, doesn't matter. the songs are great. The vocals are great. A lot of, you know, two-tone throat singing, both in the high registers and that really guttural low across the board. And some of those notes that the guy that was in front of us was hitting, there were things that were going on. Like, I thought that was like whistling, but it's not. He's doing that up in his nasal cavity with an open mouth, like singing. And I'm looking around for what instrument is that? And it's him. That's vocal.
Yeah. Yeah, just mind-blowingly good. I'm excited to see them again so that I can look for things that I missed the first time, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, great energy on stage.
Oh, amazing energy.
Jumping around, obviously having a good time, having a great time. But also a lot of their songs, back to like the shamanic aspect as you were talking about, I've seen some of their YouTube videos and things like that that have translations of a lot of their music. And like the big song, Yuva Yuva Yu, essentially they're talking about, the lyrics are something about how, you know, we used to be great as a people, the Mongol race was proud and we had honor. Where have we gone? We have lost this in our modern world. And Yuva Yuva Yu translates to how strange. Like, we had all of these things as our empire and we've just pissed it all away. How strange.
Well, and interestingly enough, on that note, I have insider information that they've done so much for like the Mongolian ethos out in the world.
Culture.
Yeah, that they're actually getting the Mongolian version of knighted.
Nice.
That their government is going to be honoring them. I don't know that it's actually been announced, but you know, hey, whatever. Nobody listens to this podcast, right?
And we have no idea where this insider information is coming from. Nope, not at all. Thank you.
But yeah, so amazing. And yeah, like everything they're wearing is Mongolian based. It's Mongolian culture. I was trying really hard not to just take pictures of like little details on their outfits because everything was just so cool.
All there, a lot of leather work and like you know, studded bead work
had reticulated looking stuff on it, sort of a throwback to like armor and stuff.
I really want to just look up, I'm going to look up when we're done, just Mongolian boots.
I did take pictures of the boots.
Because the boots, there's a common theme across, there's a specific design and there's a flat toe across the front. It's completely unlike Western shoes. And I mean, there's got to be a reason for it, why they were built like this.
I think it keeps them in the stirrups.
And of course, we're having dinner now.
Excellent. Is there anything else you guys need?
Good Lord, that's a huge pancake. Wow.
I think the how the top goes up in the front on the boots is to help keep them in the stirrups because it's horse-based culture.
Sure. But I mean, there are plenty of other, you know, horse-based things, and you know, Western boots—they're completely different. Like Western riding boots, even, you know, English riding boots. There's got to be a reason for it that I'm going to look up later and be astounded by.
They're gorgeous.
Why and what? Yeah, it's they do a lot of leather work and a lot of leather tooling, and everything they had was just put together like asymmetrical cut designs.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if you noticed, so part of the set dressing that they had, the only real, like, non-musical set dressing they had was, in Tibetan, it would have been a prayer flag, but it's round, and it's hanging up on a pole towards the center of the stage, and I don't know if you noticed, but it had horse mane hair coming out of it.
I'm pretty sure it's the equivalent of, like, a Mongolian tribal banner.
Sure.
This would be the banner, the flag, essentially, that is put in camp when they set up camp. And it, you know, the town or, you know, whatever nomadic culture, obviously, the camp is set up around this.
Sure. And so they had it in the middle of their stage, which makes sense.
Whether it's also, you know, a battle standard sort of thing, because, you know, Mongolian people, they're not exactly
chill.
Chill.
So, yes, excited to see them again. We've seen them again on Tuesday. I do not know if this show is sold out, but if it's not, they're playing on Tuesday at the Fonda.
Yes, and just for reference, today is Friday. So in 4 days or so, on the 10th?
On the 10th, December 10th.
The 10th of December in 2019. Just in case you're listening to this 5 years from now and go, oh my God, the Who's playing?
Yeah, so... But yes, so you'll actually be hearing more about them because Patch will be with us, and I'm sure he'll have some.
We'll have other people to gush about the Who.
Yes. In the meantime, I guess we're going to tootle on our way. Get in the van.
Get in the van.
We're doing podcast stuff.
Oh yeah, podcast stuff.